Hello, it's Lee and Teresa Durrant here from Resource On Demand.
And we're here with some Salesforce experts for our very first Salesforce Roundtable, where we'll talk about the hot topic of COVID-19.
Hi guys, thanks for joining us. We're obviously humbled that you gave us your time and we're really grateful for that. So thank you very much. I guess we'll pick one and we'll just go for some introductions if that's all right. So Vera, as you're top on our screen, would you like to introduce yourself first?
Absolutely. So hi, Vera Loftus. I run the Capita Salesforce practice, but I've been in the ecosystem for, over a decade now. So yeah, many, many different forms, but always Salesforce focused.
Thank you. We've got Simon. Do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, thank you. Simon Thompson, CEO and co-founder of Improved Apps. I've been working around the Salesforce ecosystem for 13 years, since 2007. I worked at Salesforce for six of those years before founding Improved Apps, and we're helping customers drive adoption of Salesforce.
Lovely, thank you.
Oh. Jimmo, would you like to go next?
Gemma Blessard. I founded Ladies Be Architects during my time at Blue Wolf when I was working with Vera. Recently broken away to start my own advisory consultancy business, focusing on architects. And I've been working with Salesforce for 12 years.
Fantastic. And then we've got Toby.
Hi there. Hi, everyone. My name is Toby Heath. I've recently been working at Heathrow. Previous to that, it was Gatwick, and previous to that, it was a company called CETA, who were based out in Geneva. I've been working in the Salesforce space, I guess, for about 8 years now, on and off, in different guises. But yeah, that's me, really.
Thank you. Brilliant, thank you. And last but not least, Penny and your Muppet, do you mind introducing yourself?
Yeah. Hi, guys. Yeah, my colleague. Times are getting desperate for colleagues. So I'm Penny. I'm the Chief Operating Officer at Presedo. And like the other guys, I've been around doing Salesforce for ages, so about 12 or 13 years. And I've been a customer and at other consultancies and ISVs. So a little bit of most of the space.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, we'll just dive straight in. I know I sent you some questions that we were curious about, and obviously, I want to thank you all for doing this, and thanks to Gemma as well for being there when the idea kind of hit us both. We thought it'd be a good idea then just go through some questions about how you're all handling the current situation and obviously what you think might happen in the future so that people can hopefully see some light at the end of the tunnel. So the first point I think we'd like to cover, and I think I might start with, who should start with, Gemma? Okay, well, actually, Gemma, because your situation is quite interesting. I mean, all your situations are very unique. But how has the current COVID-19 situation affected you in that you've just started a new business and all that sort of stuff?
It's been interesting because the conversations I've been having have varied in that regard. So I started up the consultancy in October. And began the year full of optimism around, you know, come March, we'll, you know, start building all our relationships, we can go to world tour, we can start getting the word out, and everybody's going to be kicking off digital transformations, and we know we're needed, et cetera, et cetera. This, you know, nobody could have predicted this in any way at all, I think. So it has been, I'll be honest, it has been tough. Starting this business, the number one thing to do was to make sure there was enough work coming in so that I could live in this house for a start. And, you know, for the first time in several years, it has really hit me financially right where it hurts. And it has created a sense of humility, for sure. I'm certainly shopping far less extravagantly and less frequently, for a start. And I've become, it's certainly taken me back to basics. How do I start these relationships again? And also how do I just start to address what's more, you know, reevaluate and realign all my priorities? So yeah, it's been tough, and there've been lots of views around how we will bounce back, but wait and see. But yeah, not knowing where the next mortgage payment is coming from is a very big and very real issue here for me.
And how have you sort of embraced that from being in a point of view where before you were in a role where you've probably got that job security, yeah, to suddenly find yourself starting up a business where there is no security? Now, how have you found that transition in general?
It was something... So for someone who kind of... I'll start again. In my situation, as you know, I've not had the easiest time over the last few years in my personal life and my health and so on. So I'm kind of used to my world being turned upside down, if that makes sense. And so the way I react and respond to that is to mobilize, to think, what do I need to do now in order to solve this problem? Being a consultant for 12 years, you get used to solving problems. So the immediate problems have been, how do I get the flywheel going? How do I make sure that I use the network of relationships that I have in order to try and create some more security? So I know that for other people, you know, it's really knocked people for six. Mm-hmm. All of this situation, for me, I just see it as another fence I've got to jump over at the moment. And it's a higher fence than I've had previously. As weird as that sounds.
Yeah.
Having cancer was a breeze compared to this, because I know that sounds dark and strange, but all I had to do was sit down and, you know, absorb some nasty chemicals, and the problem was solved in that for me. But this, you know, I can't sit down and take drugs for this one. I've got to.
It's that feeling that things are beyond your control, isn't it? Because there's certain things you can control, but this seems to be something that none of us have any idea of how long it's going to go on for, what the outcome's going to be, when things are going to return to normal again. So it's that sense of losing control.
I guess so, and I suppose in this situation as well, my mentors are all over the place. They're all over the ecosystem, and I've got access to mentors that are very prepared to just jump on a call and share their experience with me. So that's something that I really value in this situation, and I'm not restricted as to where I can get those mentors from. I can get them at all levels, all countries, all business backgrounds. So.
Good position to be in, isn't it, really?
It's good added. There's a good benefit to the Salesforce ecosystem, isn't it? Everyone's so giving, I think. Thanks for that, Gemma. Well, same question, I guess, then to Simon. How has it been for you with being a CEO of your own business there?
Well, I think there's two angles on it from a personal level. First of all, got quite a few mouths to feed within our business and look after those individuals first and foremost. Yeah. I think on a personal level, you know, not getting out and about and meeting people like we normally do on a day-by-day basis, you know, definitely miss that. That excuse to get away from the children has gone. You know, they're constantly around us now, and as much as I love them to bits, they're always there when you don't want them to be. You know. So I think on a personal level, it's been more focusing on giving reassurance to our employees that, you know, the business is good, we've got a subscription model, our customers are happy. So making sure that, you know, they were reassured as well, because, you know, we have a variety of people working for us, and some of them were very worried about what was going to happen, you know, when all this furloughing things going on, was it going to affect them? So I think, you know, going back to even January, I made a decision that people only needed to travel if they personally wanted to travel. So they were able to make that own judgment quite early on. And then moving through to March, we sort of made a real statement that, you know, we're fine as a business, you know, we carry on as we are. Things are going to change naturally, which we'll discuss more later. But yeah, I think for me, it was twofold, you know, a difference of the way my life is, not getting out and about as much as I normally do. And the most important thing was just making sure our employees were comfortable and knew that they were secure and safe. Because another part of that was, you know, making sure that even if they were going to be sick or off sick, that we were going to support them regardless, you know, full salary and keep the business running. So that was very important to me to support our company that way.
Great, fantastic. And I mean, how have the, you know, the staff that have been working for you, I mean, how have they sort of been receptive towards that, you know, communicating that out to them?
Yeah, overall very good. I mean, we now have daily 15, 20 minutes, sometimes ends up being half an hour, catch-ups in the morning. We don't talk about business there. It's just purely just a catch-up, talk about things that are going on. It's very difficult to try and keep that positive, though, with everything that's in the news, you know. So, you know, and we have fun and games and quizzes on occasions when people want to step up and do that. So, yeah, it's just working a little bit differently. You know, we are a software company that's used to working from home quite a lot anyway. So it's more the individuals that are out there that don't have family or on their own that need that extra support, you know, and just trying to operate a little bit differently.
Yeah, I mean, we totally get that within our own business. We've got, you know, people that've got children, so they find it very easy to occupy themselves. And then you've got other people that literally just, you know, they're on their own, and that's quite a scary prospect for them because they can't get out as much as they often would. So you have to, I suppose, metaphorically, because we can't actually do it physically, put an arm around them and say it's going to be okay. You know, we will get through this together. So completely understand where you're coming from. And yeah. I'd probably like to ask Vera the same question, really, because yours is quite a unique situation that you've actually joined a company during the lockdown. So how has that been for you?
Yeah, well, it was interesting because I went on garden leave right before the lockdown. And so I had all of these ambitions, plans of being a lady who lunches. And I think I had mapped out my whole 4 weeks. And then all of a sudden I found out I was going to be stuck at home. So that was my first kind of stark reality. And then I started to get used to that. I'm like, oh, I'm quite productive and I've done loads of organizing. And all of a sudden I remembered I have to go back to work. And it's been really interesting. I mean, onboarding in a world where, you know, you don't know anyone and you aren't meeting people in a lot of the same ways is quite a strange experience. And I think it's probably taken me longer to understand the kind of organizational structures within Capita and how internally, you know, deals flow and how relationships work, just because you don't really get to see it in action. You know, you're meeting people, but it's quite pointed conversations. So it means that you're really trying to gain the full picture on your own. So that's been quite difficult. And obviously, you know, my role is very different than I thought it was going to be a couple of weeks ago. I think prior to coming on board, I had this very ambitious business plan and we were going to, you know, build all of this pipeline and hire all of these folks. And, you know, within a year we were going to be, you know, 100 people. Mm. And then all of a sudden you kind of come on day one and it's like, well, you know, people across the country are being laid off, you know, hiring freezes are happening and it takes on a completely different lens. Right. And so I've been kind of concentrating on how do I build a practice from nothing? You know, I'm the last person who's going to go and say, okay, but Salesforce is very important. I would like some investment while everyone else is panicking. So, you know, how do you focus to determine the activities that I think are important that you can then build on top of? And I was quite lucky in that my first day in the job, because I was obviously quite nervous coming in as somebody brand new in, you know, in the middle of all of this. And my mentor and the guy who actually hired me at Capita set me down and said, you know, don't be stressed. He's like, I know that you're going to be paranoid about doing, you know, anything and everything to try to get exposure and try to get yourself out there. He said, just use this time actually to make sure that you carve out enough space for yourself to actually gain a skill. So he said, you know, you need to think about in all of this, when you come out of it, what will you have taught yourself? What will you have learned? You know, what will you have achieved outside of kind of your daily job? And he said, you know, I think that if we aren't doing that, we're missing something, right? If we're trying to fill the space in our day for the sake of being busy or being important, then you're really missing out on a massive opportunity. And I thought that was a really good frame of mind to be looking at all of this with, because, you know, I do think people get panicked and, you know, especially in environments where people are being furloughed, you know, you want to be critical. And I do think it does cause people to tend to book in more meetings, tend to book in more conversations. And, you know, I think the perspective of being able to take a bit of a step back and say, you know, I am going to have a bit more time. I need to make sure that I can serve that time. And that I do something productive, either personally or professionally, with that, you know, so I've got something to show at the end of this, I think is quite a good way to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good point, actually, because, I mean, there's going to be so many companies out there, like you say, that they're going to hit that panic mode and the fear sets in, and they're going to be making themselves busy and all sorts of activities just to fill their day, when actually are they the activities they should be spending their time on? So that's really, really good point there.
Certainly, we might be being guilty of that, might we? So it's that's a good tip. And also, the opportunity to learn something great tip, no matter what level you're at in the Salesforce space, I suppose. It's a good idea for people. Also for you as well. You were at Blue Wolf for such a long time, weren't you? It must be so weird, not only to leave there, but then to leave there in the middle of this.
Yeah, it was. It's quite strange because of the timing of me leaving. I didn't get leaving drinks, and I didn't, you know, the whole kind of hoopla around the place for that long. It does seem very kind of anticlimactic in a bit of a strange way.
Not the same chinking glasses over the internet, is it?
I know. I was waiting for all the champagne to start arriving by mail. But that also hasn't happened. So. You know, I do
need to give them a nudge in a few weeks.
Yeah, exactly. When everybody calms down. But no, it's been really interesting for me too in the whole learning environment, because running such a big team for such a long time, you know, I don't often touch Salesforce anymore. And being one person, you know, trying to build a practice, it's actually forced me much more into the app and much more into the platform. And, you know, I do feel like I'm reinvigorating my understanding of, you know, how Salesforce has grown over time and how it can best be leveraged. So in a lot of ways, I'm really grateful for that, because I don't get to sit that close to either the customer or, you know, the systems that they're managing.
So it's actually going back to basics a little bit, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic. I realize I'm not as smart as I thought I was.
I'm sure you are.
Brilliant. Okay. Thanks, Vera. Toby, before we lose you, because if you keep dipping it out there, maybe it looks good. Oh, he's gone. Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Your situation, again, unique, isn't it? So describe what it's been like for you, mate.
Yeah, well, last year, on November the 15th, I thought it'd be a good idea to leave the sanctuary and security of Switzerland. So I'd been living there for 5,333 days.
Oh, wow.
So I had my permit to reside there, and I thought life was going pretty well for me in terms of, you know, I'd been contracting at Gatwick for a couple of years, and then secured a long-term contract at Heathrow, working on their expansion program and running Salesforce for that. So I made that decision in November, and I think since then, everything has gone, frankly, to the wall on a weekly basis. But, you know, that's what defines us, isn't it? It's facing these problems, it's facing the unknown, and it's how we as humans and individuals deal with that. So I think my first problem this year was, the fact, to be absolutely blunt, the snow didn't arrive in January, so it was a pretty average ski season, unfortunately. and then I came back after fortunately having a couple of weeks skiing, which was lovely, which was great. And then I came back to the appeal at the High Court against the government's decision for the basis of their transport policy across for the whole of the UK. So it wasn't specifically the end of expansion. It was consideration of the Paris Accord in that decision making, which hadn't been taken into account. So as a result of that, roughly, I mean, the expansion program was a huge planning exercise. There was about 2,000 people working on the program, and literally overnight we were given about a month's notice, so to speak. But basically everything was put on hold for what they thought would be 18 months to 2 years. Now, the expansion program being privately funded and not publicly funded, that meant a lot of contractors, such as people from Turner & Townsend, CBRE, all the big construction firms, everybody was benched, basically. So that was a bit of a shock, but I'd also been doing some work on in the commercial space for Salesforce at Heathrow. So they recently launched a VIP booking system. So for all the royals, dignitaries, and so on and so forth. So I'd been involved in the commercial space, and I was offered basically a role to stay at Heathrow to continue, but be more commercially focused rather than working on expansion, which was great. And then COVID-19 kicked in, and of course that was that. So I finished up there on the 31st of May. I'd planned to have a couple of weeks holiday over Easter. So to me, I'm still in a little bit of holiday mode, if I'm being honest with you. It really hasn't, other than not being paid, which is, you know, that obviously has its own personal issues. But from a work point of view, I'm focusing on things that I can focus on from a works perspective. So training is one of those points that I'm, you know, desperate to pick up on, and it's very rare that you find time during your day-to-day work to sort out things, go through all the personal administration, which frankly falls by the wayside normally in our own lives. So getting on top of that and just taking a little bit of downtime, to be honest. There's an element of, one could argue, there's an element of anxiety around how long it's going to last for. But, you know, it's looking around Europe, how they're handling it, and when restrictions are being lifted. I remain optimistic that in a relatively what I would call a short space of time, things will start returning to some semblance of normality versus where we are today.
Yeah, hope so. Hope you're right, mate. Yeah, thank you very much. And Penny, from your point of view, how's the current situation been for you? Oh, Penny, you've gone very quiet.
Penny.
Oh, Penny, you're muted.
Yeah, sorry, Lee. That's all right. I was just going to say, it was really interesting listening to everybody else, because you've got a good range of different sorts of businesses and different sorts of experiences here. So for us, we're still a small business. There's 43 of us. We don't have the benefit of that steady subscription income that maybe Simon Improved has. And obviously we're minuscule in scale compared to Capita, but we are a lot more established than, say, Gemma is. And, you know, we have multiple customers, unlike Toby. So we're kind of a bit of a hybrid of all of the challenges and also opportunities that some of the others have got. So for us, I think our challenge is that pipeline has dried up very much. I'm not sure if that's what everybody else is seeing. I can see Gemma nodding too. And I think Salesforce were an early mover in terms of going into the lockdown and really wanted to be ahead of the curve and doing the right thing. And I think perhaps especially across Europe, that impacts us, as they are being kind of very respectful of the situation and being, you know, very sensitive about how they try and build their business. And there's a knock-on effect to everybody in the ecosystem from that, for sure. We've got a lot of projects that are midway through, and that's great because we're still incredibly busy. But then, as a couple of you have alluded to, and Teresa, you've said this a couple of times, it's the not knowing how long it's going to go on for. So not knowing what that endpoint looks like means that, kind of from a managing the business perspective, managing our cash flow, planning ahead, we have to be really risk averse. And also that is quite scary, not knowing whether this is going to be a couple of months or 6 months or longer. And then that's where the impacts on all of us personally come in terms of what that means for our jobs and our incomes. So, you know, that's sort of manageable in the short term, but scary looking long term. And personally, there's pros and cons. I'm lucky enough that my daughter is nearly 17, so I don't have little kids tooling around the place. But suddenly being at home with her all the time is a bit of a shock. On the plus side, I was supposed to be running the London Marathon this weekend. So the fact that I have till October to train is like a real godsend, because I would have struggled to drag myself around the marathon this weekend. But hopefully, with now having till October, that'll be a real bonus for me. And the being at home does mean I have got a bit more time to train. So okay. Yeah, all in all, a bit of a mixed
situation. It's good you're finding a plus in there, though. So I think...
Yeah, I'm trying, Teresa.
The thing is, I mean, we live in a little village, so we're very fortunate. It's very community-orientated. But we are a bit of a fitness freak couple anyway. We like to do lots of challenges, but there's so many more people out there that are actually kind of, in a way, getting to grips with nature in a way they've never got to grips with it before. And that's actually quite nice to see, isn't it? Less traffic on the road, you can hear the birds singing for a change and stuff like that. It's nice.
Is Lottie going out? I mean, you know, is she running and that thing? So we know it's a lot of teenagers and sort of people you never see running around our village are running around our village all of a sudden. Now that they're being encouraged to stay at home and play with their toys, they want to go out. Is she doing that? Or?
Well, she's doing an apprenticeship herself for work. So she, the first couple of weeks, she was just asleep, you know. But then since then, she's more the sunbathing type probably rather than the running around the park.
So at the end of this, she's going to have an amazing suntan.
Exactly. Yeah, she's learning how to do her own nails. So she's going to have fab manicure and great tan. Yeah.
Does that mean she's trying them out on you, though?
No, she's just been doing them on herself. Yes. I'm not quite ready for that yet.
Fair enough. Okay, so thank you all for sharing that. I mean, it's like quite a diverse sort of mix of what's going on at the moment, but I'm sure there will be many people out there that can really relate to what you've all been saying. I suppose if we look at it from like your customers' point of view, I mean, what kind of challenges are they facing? So, I mean, what are you sort of... what are things your customers have been saying to you? I mean, I don't know who wants to go first on this, but perhaps if we come to you first, Penny, for a change.
Okay, so I think that, you know, they're very, very dependent on what industry they're in. So obviously some of our hospitality customers were hit hard and hit very early by this. There are pros and cons about that for them. So mostly it's a really difficult time for them, but it does at least give them some bandwidth to do projects that are much more difficult to do kind of in the running of normal business time. We've got one customer who's doing, they're releasing a new piece of work in Salesforce around their billings and revenue recognition, and actually doing that at a point in time where the volume of those transactions is very low is a much lower risk time to release something like that. So obviously it's not what they want to have a few transactions, but it does make it low risk to be going live with a new piece of work. There are other customers who are kind of at the moment totally unimpacted by this change. Maybe they deal with a lot of public sector, a lot of a subscription business to business for them. So, but even they know that as the economy is hit, pain is going to come. It just might be that that's a few months or a year away or somehow softened for them. So different customers have got different challenges. And similarly, when it comes to coping with the practicalities of suddenly working from home, and that's where Salesforce really, really shines. So for us, we've gone live with a couple of offerings. So one is Trailblazer as a service, which is where we're providing somebody to work as part of the customer's Salesforce team. And that's been really successful. We've had some fantastic feedback from customers about that. And then the second thing has been specifically to retailers, which is some free work, particularly around the marketing cloud side of things. And definitely for us being quite strong in marketing cloud and Pardot, that's been used a lot over the last few weeks.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, a bit of a mixed bag from customers.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, fair enough. Gemma, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, if I had more customers, I'd be able to say.
on the few that you've been speaking to, what the challenges for them?
At the moment, my biggest challenge is nobody's buying. So, and obviously being so new, I am having a lot of top of the funnel activity going on at the moment. It's not something I want to focus on. I want to focus on closing deals down, really, but I've had to accept that that's tough. So I've been working on having a lot of conversations with AEs, potentially looking at opportunities for us to go and help, because we want to be helpful. Yeah. And we know that in the future we'll be remembered for being helpful in more favourable times. I suppose at the moment I do have one customer that's not affected at all, but then I'm affected by the end of their financial year. So I'm not in a position to close that until their financial year starts. So yeah, it is tough at the moment. That's
no, okay. Yeah. Well, what about you, Simon? How have you found it?
Across the customers, again, I think what's been said already, really, a variety of different situations. I think the last few weeks have been, companies looking forward to the dust settling a bit, and clearly a lot of the executives I've been talking to and customers, they've been regular, if not daily, critical meetings being held in terms of working out what they're going to be doing and or what they're going to be focusing on. There's definitely been a few customers here that are looking at opportunities to use this time as an opportunity to get projects underway. I think to Penny's point, get some things done that perhaps would have been kicked down the road, kept getting kicked down the road otherwise. So a bit of a mix really, but we've been offering our product free of charge even to our existing customers. So we have quite a lot of customers that perhaps have only rolled out our product to a subset of users. But the benefits are huge if they were to invest across all their users. But with Salesforce's support, which has been fantastic, we've been able to say, look, customers, you can have unlimited use of our product, and we're not going to change that until we come out the other side of this pandemic. So, it's been nice for Salesforce to be able to support us as a product company to support our customers who are in a variety of different conditions at the moment. Gem, as Gem is saying, in terms of our prospecting and trying to talk to new customers, that's all gone out the window now. We're focusing our energy talking to other Salesforce partners and drawing more awareness of what we do, because I think trying to sell in this mode and in this current climate has to be done completely different for how we did it before. We have to be very respectful of the situation the people we're trying to get to are in, and they've got bigger projects to work on at the moment.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, lends quite well to another question, but I appreciate Vera and Toby. Sorry, you've not had a chance to answer this one, but do you have anything else to add to that, or did you want to come back on the sort of the opportunities that some of the Salesforce partners and the ecosystem are giving to customers, or did you have anything else to put on the customers' issues and problems?
No, I think they go hand in hand. I think, our from a partner perspective, our response is because of all the things that everyone has just mentioned. So I think I'm okay if we move on.
Yeah. Toby?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. I mean, I think we know what's happened to the aviation industry. And there's not a lot I can say about that in terms of, I think the problem that the aviation industry is going to have is, as I see it, and having spoken to a number of colleagues, I suspect things like, and this is just my opinion, I'll caveat that, things like the third runway, if it were to happen, I think that's been significantly kicked into touch now. And that opens up sort of UK infrastructure planning and what that looks like over the next 10 to 15 years. I could see a consolidation of local and regional airports, and probably some of those closing as well. Gatwick's one of the biggest single runway airports on the planet, other than Mumbai, and Heathrow's one of the third or fourth biggest in the world. And I see it taking them quite some time to come back from this, and that has not significant knock on, not only for those airports, but also all of those, the ground handlers, all the associated enterprises and organizations that support airports and airlines as well. And I think we've all read that in the paper.
Yeah, don't realize how much just one sector suddenly has a knock-on effect around, really.
Correct. Yeah. So I mean, from my point of view, I'd be looking to diversify out of necessarily staying in aviation and transport and travel, and look at other areas. Many skills are transferable, but I think it would be a good idea to look elsewhere with that respect.
Can I add something? I was having a conversation with a colleague just before this call, actually, and we think that we were actually gazing into the crystal ball, thinking that there's a real advantage here. As customers have had to start, have had to digitally transform in a very reactive way. And despite that kind of baptism of fire that they've been experiencing in the last few weeks, we think that it's actually going to force people to see the value of remote working. Mm-hmm. And you look at the effect that that's had on our environment. You look at the smog in London, that how much that's gone down, like in a few weeks. The number of focused and pointed conversations that people have. I mean, I have had virtual pub meetings with my friends and colleagues on a Friday night, mm-hmm. where we played games together, and we've had more chance to talk and bond over those calls, as tiring as they are, because you do get very tired being on meetings all the time. Mm. You actually kind of have more opportunity to talk, and it's a lot less awkward for some people. So I think we will see a return. We won't see a return to what it was like before, I think, in 100%, because I think that, and I hope that more businesses will be open to embracing the benefits of remote working, and if you are face to face, making sure that those face to face meetings are more productive and valuable. Because they'll get into the ways of working that you have when you work remotely. Like, I'm on a call for a meeting. I need to get this. This meeting has a specific purpose, and we've all got to drop in an hour's time. So let's keep those conversations purposeful and meaningful. Instead of just having meetings for meeting's sake, maybe people will become smarter with their meetings and therefore respect one another's time more. And that will ultimately have a better effect on the environment.
Absolutely. We were thinking about this with our business, because I'll be honest, we were reluctant, as and we're just a small recruitment company, but we had people in offices, and probably born out of my history, I wanted to see them at their desks every day doing their jobs. But being forced to do this has made us realise that, it saved us a fortune, because we were lucky enough to get out of the offices, but then also actually I quite enjoy this. And it potentially, moving forward, can open us up to a wider pool of talent, because instead of looking for what we're looking for in this narrow little space in Kent, we could open it out. And if we're feeling like that, then how many other companies are feeling like that?
And the world is more accessible. I mean, I have later meetings in the day. I'm not a morning person. I get up at 9. I maybe start work at about 10:30. But I'll go right through until the evening, because I've got Americans to speak to. Mm. So that aren't living here in the UK.
just on that point, and going back to Heathrow. I mean, with the expansion program, they with all those additional consultants and contractors coming into the Compass Centre, which is on the north side of the airfield, they didn't have space. They didn't have desks for everybody, so they actively encouraged people to work from home anyway. And I would normally only go into Heathrow maybe one day a week, or maybe one every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And in fact, this year, I only went into Heathrow for 2 days, between January the 1st and the 31st of March. And actually, I think once you've overcome and you've had that face-to-face contact, and people understand how you work and you as an individual, which you do, I think you do need to glean a little bit of that through face-to-face time. Once you've been through that, then there is no reason to be in an office. And I think a lot of people who are new to this are learning this very quickly, that you can work from wherever, doing whatever, in most instances. Obviously not everyone, but certainly I think in the world that we're in, that's absolutely something that can be done.
I mean, that's a really good point, I mean, that you've both made there, and perhaps we'll open this up a little bit more, is that, I mean, there are some companies out there that possibly, I mean, I have to say thank you to Gemma, because I was having a little bit of a mental breakdown when it all kicked off. And we are absolutely positioned to work from home, because not only we place Salesforce people, but we actually use Salesforce as a system. And for a split second, it was like my brain shut off and I couldn't figure out how I could get people.
It was all about to spend a fortune on VPN. And I said, what system do you use? And she goes, Salesforce. So I was like, you don't need VPN. Don't get your credit card out. Put it away.
But that was the problem. I mean, there's so many companies out there that they weren't actually accidentally set up to work from home. So what are the lessons that we could learn from this? You know, there's so many businesses out there that could save costs, could save the employees oodles amount of travel time every day. So that's a better work-life balance for them. But how could those companies perhaps position themselves in the future so that if, God forbid, something like this globally happens again, they're in a much stronger position moving forward? Because it's, you know, it's a scary prospect for both for people working and for the business owners to think it could all crumble and there's not a thing they can do. So I suppose whoever wants to go first, maybe with that one.
I'll take that one, because I do think that that's everybody's biggest concern. It's not necessarily when this is going to end, which is obviously, you know, a major issue, but what if it happens again? And I think, you know, in terms of resilience, I think that's what companies are looking at and putting action plans in place to address some of the issues. And I think some of them are obviously massive, like connectivity, you know, which you couldn't have necessarily anticipated. But some are quite simple, right? You know, I think a lot of the bigger companies are suffering from people not being productive at home because they couldn't get laptops out fast enough, you know, and things, to Gemma's point about VPN and giving people the access that they need. You know, I think there's a lot of companies that are looking at bring your own device. You know, when I got this very big laptop, which I have from Capita, that was my first conversation is, you know, what is this and why can't I just use my own Mac? And the IT guy actually said to me, he said, it's interesting. He said, because Capita does a lot of government work. And so we've got a lot of, you know, restrictions in terms of compliance and security. And he said, and we used to be very rigid with, you have to have our laptop, you have to be dialed into these VPNs at all times. And he's like, and actually this has made us realize that we can still have the level of security and compliance we need, but getting people up and running as quickly as possible circumvents some of that, you know, inclination to do it the way that you always have. And so I do think there's going to be companies that are looking at solving those problems, which are quite tactical, and obviously big problems, right? How do I, you know, I've got a contact center that got people in office, 50 people sitting at desks and banks, and, you know, how do I make sure that systems like Salesforce help me, you know, transition that into a virtual world? Even if I don't necessarily buy into the idea that everyone needs to work remote from now on, how do I make that transition seamlessly when it does happen? So I think you'll see big transformation, and I think you'll see small tactical solutions to help people react faster in these situations.
Okay. What about some of you that already have a work from home? You know, I don't know, Penny, whether you have.
Well, I was going to say, Presido, you're very much in the office, you guys, aren't you, Presido?
Yeah, so we've got quite a young team, particularly among the consultants, and so time together, it's a rarity for us already. So people do bits of working from home, but more often than not, it's that people are out on customer site. So we're very rarely all together, but you can't beat being able to bounce ideas off somebody else. And I think that's one of the things that I've missed working from home, and definitely something I know that other consultants miss when you're working on something, particularly in Salesforce. And either you're sort of scratching your head figuring out the best way of doing it, or you're just stumped on actually something's not performing as you expect it to, and it's really nice just to be able to call someone else over and work on it together. And so I think that's one of the things that we miss by not being together. But I also think there's huge opportunity for us coming out of this. I remember a colleague of mine in one of my earliest Salesforce jobs saying that Salesforce is super successful when business is booming, because organizations want to invest in their technology and want to be at the cutting edge. And then it's also really successful when the economy's in trouble, because at that point, organizations have no choice but to look to switch to digital and to systems instead of their traditional ways of working. And I think that where for most of us, it's been kind of easy to make that switch to working from home. I know there are a lot of companies that have struggled where maybe their VPN has got capacity for 30% of their workforce to be at home at any one time. And suddenly when that's 100% of people, that's a real problem. And maybe they're on a different type of CRM, and and actually going through this and coming out the other end, they, I would imagine a lot of organisations, particularly in the private sector, will do a review of what worked well and not so well, and look at maybe procuring new systems. So optimistically, we can hope that there might be a real good bounce for Salesforce projects on the back of this.
Yeah, cool. And what about you, Simon? Did you have anything to add to that? I mean, I don't know whether your team are quite remote or not, but
yeah, I mean, very similar to what's been said. You know, we're used to working remotely. Going to the office is normally a bit of a luxury, and you know, a chance to you know, interrupt people easier, I would say, when you're in the office. But we, you know, because we've got a culture of working from home and using collaboration tools and things like that, then you know, those interrupts happen regularly anyway. So you know, it's encouraged for people to reach out and to ask for help at any point, and any of the team will jump on and discuss a particular situation. So, you know, utilising collaboration tools has been key. But, you know, we operate as a business where even before, you know, this current situation where we're going in and advising customers how to drive adoption of Salesforce, how to make the user experience the best possible, and how to help people actually in the application where they want the help and guidance and access to training. So all it's done for us is accelerate those conversations, you know, and help those businesses that aren't used to that environment, aren't used to people, you know, being remote, help them understand that actually the steps in order to get there aren't too many steps. And if you just take it one step at a time and take advantage of the Salesforce tool for how good it is, and if they can invest in an extra tool, then of course then we can make that even better. But at the end of the day, there are some simple things that customers can be doing to make a significant difference, and quite often customers just can't see the wood for the trees and some of that's on some of those steps, you know. So, you know, we've been offering a lot of guidance along the last few weeks just with even existing customers, how to just do things more effectively, more efficiently, and share experiences from other customers, what's been working with other customers, with some of the other customers.
I was going to ask, because Simon, you mentioned that you have this sort of free offering in this current period, and I think Penny, you mentioned that Placido doing this Trailblazer thing. Do any of you know of any other sort of Salesforce initiatives where they're offering something kind of free or greatly reduced rate in this period? It'd be great if you know of any.
A lot of partners are doing things. The Salesforce have set up a COVID-19 resource center page, which is available from their salesforce.com homepage. We're on that alongside, there must be 20 other ISVs and consulting partners that are on that COVID-19 page. So Salesforce has done their own initiative around that, and they've selected certain partners to help customers. But we know there's a huge demand of customers and ISVs and partners to try and get on there. So that's worth looking at, the COVID-19 pages of Salesforce, to get some steer on those businesses that are offering extra things.
Okay. Obviously, we, you know, technology plays a big part in when you suddenly have to change your whole way of working. So, you know, companies that are predominantly in the office to suddenly being outside the office. When it comes like the softer side of managing remote workers, such as actually managing the people themselves, I mean, do you guys have any, you know, tidbits that you can share? Because there's still going to be lots of Salesforce customers out there that go, brilliant, I've got the technology, but how do I actually go physically about managing people remotely? So do you have anything that you could share with us?
For me, I think that really depends on the type of organization that you have. So I'm sure some of the others will feel the same way, that with Salesforce, there's always that push and pull between controlling people and enabling people. And I think that for managers who are maybe, I think somebody used the call center example earlier, who are used to being on site with people, that change to remote can challenge that balance. And I think that's a tough thing to get right. I mean, for us in our company, there are a couple of things that we've done. So, you know, we are quite a young company. Among my consultants, our average age is probably only 24 or 25. So we have a stand up at 8:30 every morning that's on Zoom, where we all talk about what we're working on during the day and if we need any help. And then at 5:30 at night, we do a similar session that's just for fun. So we'll play some games. We've been doing like the baby game. So somebody collects all of our baby photos and then we all guess who the baby is. And
that's okay.
pub quizzes. And we've also done like a couple of pranks as well. So we did one the other week where I got everybody to dial in early for our morning call, and we all had Matt's face as the background. So that
we all ducked,
and it was just a sea of himself, which of course he loved. We'll know that. And so trying to kind of keep some fun and keep us like gelled as a team, especially because we also had two brand new starters. So a little bit like Vera's experience, it's a really tough time to join a company. So we've tried to enable them to feel part of things. So I guess that's what to do to try and replicate what it is that you have in real life online, rather than to try and change things to suddenly, if you're a very trusting environment, to become suspicious. This is really the wrong time to make those kind of changes. You want to try and keep it the same as much as possible, I would recommend.
Yeah, okay.
But Gemma, I'm sure I saw you doing something great on LinkedIn as well, because training and learning and collaborating, I'm sure I saw you were doing something brilliant for folks.
So this is more about a coping mechanism, because my little girl has just come home after 5 weeks of being with her father. We had agreed between us that it was best to kind of weather the storm that way, because he was able to teach her during the day and I really wasn't in a position to do that. Something's happened. He must have got fed up or something with me. But in that time, as a coping mechanism, being alone in a house with my cats, you know, to prevent myself from becoming 100% cat lady. But also in an attempt, I actually saw people suffering on I was on my local Facebook page for my town, and there were lots of people who had been laid off, made unemployed and unable to really fill that space. So I saw them suffering and decided that I wasn't going to let them do that, and that the nice balance between, you know, helping them to emerge stronger on the other side versus, you know, me tearing my hair out because I'm sick of watching Tiger King over and over again, would be to actually invest some of my time. I give 4 hours a week now to teach people Salesforce from scratch. So we're now in week five. It's very, very informal, and it's just going through Trailhead in a guided way, so that it's not just do this badge, and you feel like you're on your own. It's let's do custom fields. And I had a customer that once came to me and said, I want a checkbox that does this, you know, and then you start kind of getting them to think about, you know, yes, it's easy to do, but why are you doing it? And, you know, how can you prevent failure and stuff? So it's the kind of architect's view of how to learn Salesforce from scratch, but actually think beyond the technology and think about what value you're giving at the same time.
Okay, fantastic. Sounds really good.
Yeah.
It was actually one of the questions we were going to ask, and
our whole plan is out the window. You guys have just gone through all these questions already, so that's why I keep looking down. Did anyone else have any points on that, though? Because there's some really good points there. I appreciate Simon, Vera, maybe I'm not coming on that one yet.
This is a really simple one, and this is coming obviously from somebody who's in a role where they don't know anyone. But turning your camera on. You'd be surprised how many of these calls happen just over voice and not necessarily, you know, being able to see people. And, you know, I think someone made the point earlier, if you've already had established relationships, then it's fine because you kind of understand how people work and their tone and their demeanor. But I think especially in these times where there are a lot of people who are, you know, isolating by themselves, or don't have a lot of interaction, you know, outside of the calls that they have during their workday, I think it makes such a difference to just turn, you know, the camera on, even if you are not, you know, ready to do so. There's definitely been times where I, you know, ambitiously wake up early and decide that I'm going to do 17 things before I jump on a Zoom call, and I get on not necessarily pleased with what I see on the screen. But I do think it's important that, you know, we're making those connections.
I suppose, go on.
I was just going to say, I think the important thing I've noticed is the acceptance of when people turn on the camera, it's now okay to not be in a shirt, not look smart, or be in your child's bedroom when you're on the camera.
Yeah.
You know, children coming and going. Yeah. I'm hoping that's going to be something, to Vera's point, that's a lasting change, because I think it was frowned upon before if you were working from home and you had the you didn't want to put the camera on because perhaps you might have been propped up on or using an ironing board as a desk or something, or you might have had, you know. And I think that's something we're seeing. You know, Vera, I absolutely see the same now. Standard practice now, turn on the camera, and it encourages other people to turn on the camera too, and it doesn't matter what people are dressed like or what they're looking like or how crazy pets or cats or kids are doing.
We had this chat yesterday, Simon, didn't we? Something you mentioned as well, it's about watching celebrities now doing things like this, and people like Martin Clunes was sitting there in his PJs yesterday being interviewed, and all these, you know, glamorous people that all of a sudden they haven't got the makeup artists, and it's okay. You know, hopefully that would be the new norm. Sorry, Gemma.
I think it brings us back to our humanity, which is ultimately the most important thing that we have, right? And there've been many times that I have felt, and certainly a lot of people who have experienced trauma in their lives can feel quite isolated as a result of that trauma, because their perspective has been changed, and now we're all experiencing this international trauma right now. You know, I think that there are many days I wake up thankful for the fact that I am not ill anymore, and I'm very grateful for that day in, day out. And then you see other people getting angry about such small things, and you know you just kind of think, well, at least you're alive, nobody's died. And things like, sometimes I think that, yes, this is an awful time, a national crisis, ridiculous, but out of every crisis, if you look over the centuries of history, has come a renaissance. And as part of that renaissance, I would like to see our society treating one another more fairly, being more forgiving of one another, and actually understanding the fact that you are a human, that you do have other responsibilities, that your work is not the only thing that you do. You know, your cats still need feeding. Yeah. It's important. Yes. And there's this stoic sense of humour that has persisted throughout this crisis too. I mean, the memes that are coming out are just amazing.
Oh, I love that group that you shared. Yeah. It's brilliant. It does cheer me up.
Yes.
I'm on that subject. Again, we're going all over the place a little bit, but do any of you have any little things that you've sort of reconnected with thanks to this, if you know what I mean, like being able to go outside and hear the birds singing because there's no cars on the roads, you know, little things like that. Do any of you have any thoughts on that?
Certainly been taking more phone calls in the garden.
For
me, it would sound, I guess maybe it sounds a bit cheesy, but it's time with my daughter. I mean, she's gonna turn 17 soon, and she's never really been one for hanging out with me a lot, but we've been playing board games and stuff like that, because she can't go out with her friends and she's not working. So yeah, we've had several evenings where we've either watched telly together, or we've played Monopoly several times and Othello, and those are things that I could barely get her to do when she was a little girl, let alone now. So having that time, because, you know, especially as your children are older, you don't have that many years left when they're going to be at home with you. So it's a special thing, and not something I'd imagined I was going to get. Like, exactly like Gemma said, nobody saw this coming. So I would never have thought I'd have this time with her. And that's been really precious and an unexpected joy from the
thing. That's a nice way to
go in. I agree with you. I mean, I think that we personally have been phoning more people more often than we would have done before.
I'm answering the phone to my mum and dad. You know, I never do that. So it's
they're going to hear that now.
They won't know if you watch this, don't they? And Vera, you bought a dog, didn't you? Did you tell me you bought a puppy in the midst of this?
I did. Well, it's funny because we've been debating. We had a dog about 3 years ago. And since then we've been debating, you know, when are we going to get a dog? When's the right time between work and the kids and everything else? You know, it just never felt appropriate. And literally I remember, it was a couple days before lockdown and there were rumors that we were going to be stuck at home. And I called my husband and I said, I've decided we're getting a puppy. If we're going to do it, this is the time to do it. And it was a bit of an impulse purchase. I think when everyone else was panic buying toilet paper, I was out
panic buying dogs.
Because, we found her.
Ironically, the little Andrix one, which kind of dog is it?
She's a French bulldog.
Oh, yeah.
I should have in tribute. But no, we found her and picked her up in 24 hours. And she's kept us busy. When I decided that, I was on garden leave, which seemed like a great idea. And I've got all the time in the world. And then when I went back to work, it was like, okay, this is, you know, a little small alive thing that we have now. Keep track of. It is funny because on some of the calls you do hear like this dog running across the room, people are like, is that okay? I'm like, well, I think it is. Just one second.
Well, it's nice that people are actually going, you need to go and sort that out.
Yeah. To your point, Simon, people I think are really understanding of life in this environment. And I think, you know, everybody understands that we're all vulnerable. And there's a lot that I think you see people doing to make sure that, you know, from a leadership perspective, that's coming down, right? You know, the calls that I'm on, you know, everyone's kids are in the background and no one's kind of sheltering, you know, anybody from that. The best I saw was that someone had put had built themselves this kind of makeshift tent in the garden as their new office. We can see him. He's got like tarps and things behind him. And I was like, are you okay? Are you like self-isolating in like an army bunker or something? And he's like, no. He's like, but he's like, well, be honest, it's the first time in my life that I've realized I have too many kids and I just can't escape them. So I've positioned myself in the garden the furthest away in hopes of getting some work done.
It's bizarre, isn't it, how people can suddenly feel more human? Because let's face it, we all have personal lives, but for some reason that had to be hidden away when you're on calls, business calls, whereas now we can actually just, I have a family, I have pets, I have perhaps an elderly parent that wants to walk into the room in the background, and you know, that's just the way life is.
Cameras off at strategic times, you're good. We've all seen it happen.
Oh, I've seen that one. Toby, how are you, mate? Have you reconnected with some sort of hobby maybe, or something that you had let go?
I think that there's been a lot more conversation and chat, with friends, and I think like yourself, Lee, mother tends to phone quite a lot. She's done it all my life at inopportune moments, during meetings and so on and so forth. But I now answer the calls, but that's one of the things that maybe should stop going forward when they come out of this. But just keep her at arm's length. But I connected with friends. I mean, as I said, I moved back from Switzerland, bought a house, so you know, lost a job, you know, all those great things happen. But you know, unfortunate that I do have a roof over my head. I do have, you know, the fact that I have nothing to sit on because I can't get a sofa and my mattress is on the floor. But it's far better than lots of other people have, and there's an appreciation of that, you know, what you actually have in life. And you know, I many, many moons ago I was in the military, so I've seen things that, you know, it sort of rekindled, or you know, friendships from long time ago that I've reconnected with many people on that front from the military. But also experiences of hardship and seeing things that, you know, weren't necessarily what we're going through at the moment, but it does bring to the fore a lot more empathy, a lot more of the softer skills that probably I haven't recognized that I might have had many, many moons ago. But to pick up on one point that was mentioned earlier, I think a lot of this is, and the way we're going to get through it, and certain companies are going to get through it far better than others, is down to leadership and how people are still managing and still continuing with, I'm going to use the term setting an example, and I don't necessarily mean that goes against the grain of many things that are said here in terms of how people dress on calls, and I think there are different organizations operate in different ways. I think there are different approaches. Those boundaries have clearly all gone out the windows. Now, I don't have any experience of sitting on a call other than, you know, this one and a couple of others. But, you know, I did put a shirt on and I did have a shave. But again, that
some of that comes down to just you as an individual as well. And I don't necessarily think, you know, there was no way I was going to come on a call and have the beard that I had on Sunday. You know, that is my professional pride, and that's not going to change through this. So, but lots of things I get and I see, and I think that this will be part of the brave new world that we all face going forward as well.
Thank you.
Brilliant.
I suppose a question, and this will probably be very relevant for you, Toby, given your situation at the moment. But if I ask the other guys here, what would be the best advice that you could give the people that would find themselves in this situation where maybe they're between jobs? How could they potentially position themselves so they, you know, come back stronger and hopefully, you know, set themselves up to get a job very quickly as soon as things start to move? Has anybody got any advice for perhaps people who are in that position at the moment and probably concerned about what the future has in store for them? Don't know if anyone wants to take that.
I think there's plenty of businesses that are still recruiting out there. You know, if you are between jobs, look about, you know, get your name out there, get on LinkedIn, have a look around. I see it day in, day out, even in the current climate, you know, maybe more so in our ecosystem, but, you know, in the Salesforce world, you know, business goes on, business will go on. There's a lot of companies that are looking beyond the current situation, as we've been discussing, and people are recruiting. So I'd encourage people not to let the current situation stop them looking for that next great job that they want to get.
Okay, yeah.
And I think we're really fortunate to be part of the Salesforce ecosystem, because with Trailhead, you know, everybody has the opportunity to upskill and, you know, reskill. And it is it's made for this, right? It's self-paced, it's at home, you know, there's no setup. It's almost like a Joe Wicks workout, you know. No equipment, no excuses. But I do think that people should take advantage of really, you know, certifications, badges. Salesforce is so great at giving us a forum, A, for people like Gemma to help folks out and get practical experience in all of this, but also recognition, right? You know, you want A, to learn new skills, but also you want to feel like you're a part of something in that environment. And I think that, you know, Trailhead's exactly what people should be looking at to do both those things.
Yeah, fantastic.
Well, I mean, for me, my heart goes out to anybody who's in that situation right now, because it's great to hear that optimism from Simon, but I think, you know, recruitment definitely has flatlined in general, you know, and maybe Salesforce is slightly protected from that. But when you look at all of the businesses that just aren't operating at all, you know, Primark said they've gone from doing 730 million a month to zero. Right? So that them and all their supply chain are then companies that probably just aren't hiring. And when you magnify that by the number of businesses impacted, I think it is a really tough and probably quite a frightening time to be without a job. And I think if that was me, I would be trying to rewrite my CV. I would be walking into the supermarkets trying to get a job as many hours as I can get. I would be looking at whether I can get a driving job from, you know, Ocado or Amazon or somebody. And I think for anyone who's in that situation, don't be boxed in by what you know and what you do. You can easily turn your hand to doing different things. And what you do as a stopgap to get through a difficult few months doesn't necessarily impact your future career. If we fast forward to 6 or 9 months and I'm looking to hire a senior Salesforce consultant, the fact that somebody spent 4 or 5 months working in Tesco's during this time is not going to inhibit my desire to hire them. In fact, quite the opposite. Mm-hmm. So for anybody who's in that situation at the moment, don't let that demoralize you, I'd say. But I think some of the other points, so for people who have the luxury of not having to do that, then I think training, developing, broadening their skills is really important. And there's a lot online that's great right now. And I think Salesforce certifications and Trailhead is important. My one tip would be, if you're going to book a certification, that even the online ones are really fully booked right now. You're going to need to book probably an exam like middle or end of May because they're so busy. So be aware of that. But then don't just think about certs either. There's lots of great agile courses. There's project management certifications. And definitely when I'm looking to hire people, I want to know that they can talk to customers, understand the organizations and have that broad range of skills, not just the Salesforce certs. So yeah, I think it is a tough time, and I hope we just have to hope that we get through this, and those of us running small businesses certainly want us to get through this as soon as we can.
Thanks, Penny, that's great. Yeah, what was you going to say something, Gemma?
I think I forgot what I was going to say.
Penny,
actually, I find what Penny said quite inspiring. And the same with Vera too, because you're right, it is a great time to reflect and to invest time in ourselves. If we can't, especially that we can't invest a lot of time in our business development, etc. at the moment. So actually, you know, that got me thinking around the mindset of employers as well, and how employers at this time could consider the resilience and the get up and go that candidates have going forward because of the crisis. So I think that's really important.
Yeah, no, thank you. I mean, they're all, you know, very good comments, and I think there's a theme there really is it's just making the best use of the time that we have rather than sort of sitting there and sort of feeling sorry for ourselves, which sometimes there are people out there that probably would do that, whereas actually if you're remaining proactive in what you're spending your time on, then that's going to be recognised by a future employer moving forward that you've spent that time wisely rather than perhaps just sunbathing in the garden.
And I suppose you using your network as well, you know, and actually overcoming your own, getting over yourself in order to do that. There's a couple of, a mentor said to me recently, you should tap up this person. I'm like, I don't think I should. I think that's, I think, because then it looks like I'm asking for too much. And he was just like, okay, when you get over that, can you call me back?
And this is from the lady that emailed Mark Benioff, that I remember rightly, didn't you?
I might have done ages ago.
Yeah, right. And you got a response there, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Around the business, actually. I actually said, I'm thinking of starting a business. I figured if anyone would know, like, be able to give me tips, it would be someone who's started a business themselves. I hear you started a business. Have you got any thoughts?
I mean, they do say the biggest accomplishment comes from when you take yourself outside your comfort zone. So, you know, it's a prime example there that you have to go and do something that often is not your most comfortable thing. But once you've done it, actually, you realise that what you've gained from that experience is far outweighs the minuscule feeling you had at the beginning.
And even if they say no, you know, someone eventually will say yes. So you don't ask, you don't get.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. So to end on a high then, I guess, and I think we probably covered it already, but if anyone's got any final little tips of what they think perhaps the future of Salesforce might look like after we're through this, I know it wasn't a question I asked, I don't think, but we might have already touched on it, but does anyone have any sort of final thoughts on where we might be in 6 or 12 months as an ecosystem in the UK or further than that?
We were having
being super. Oh, go on. Go ahead.
We were having a conversation before. I was having a conversation with a contact of mine, and he was saying that he thinks that given the very very quick reactive digital transformations that are going on, if anything, business continuity planning is going to become a priority once people are back on their feet, and that digital transformations themselves will boom. And I think given the ecosystem that we work in, that is also going to provide a great deal of opportunity for us and our renaissance, if you like.
Okay, thank you.
Love it. So Penny, you were going to say something as well?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say I agree with Gemma. I think that coming out of this, making the business case to invest in moving to the cloud, in digital transformation, becomes a no-brainer, right? For the next probably 5 years or longer, people will remember this and it becomes a great reason to do something different. And being super optimistic, let's hope maybe we've had a really quiet March and April. Usually July and August are very quiet. Maybe they won't be. You know, maybe the business that we would have been doing now, we're going to do in July and August, and we'll pick up and we'll end the year on a high. And that's my optimism for this year. And then long term, I think there's some reasons to be optimistic. One small thing that I know, Lee, you and I were talking about the other day, is that I wonder whether customers, especially with the IR35 thing being pushed back for a year, so not companies like us doing Salesforce projects and transformations, but whether the end customers might be more inclined to take contractors on over the short term rather than add to headcount, just because, you know, it is going to be a bumpy ride coming out of this. And for some of them, they might not want to take the risk of full-time employees. So I think we might see an increase in in-house contractors, but that I think in general, Salesforce is going to grow a lot, and you know, it should be a really good time for us coming out of this, I hope.
Yeah, fantastic.
Right, yeah.
Simon, Vera, did you have anything to add there?
Toby,
yeah, I was coming. Sorry, I wasn't.
I think the only thing I'd add is I think we're probably a good few weeks away from businesses generally being in a steadier state for them to be able to really have any comfort of what the next few months are going to be like. You know, I think, yes, I'm very optimistic about things, but then I find ourselves in a world where we support remote workers and the demand has gone absolutely crazy for us from partners mainly reaching out to us saying customers are asking how to support remote workers. So for me, it's about growth over the next 2-3 months, but I'm going to be very steady with it in terms of how we do that and how we recruit people. I historically love recruiting people who have got no previous Salesforce experience at all. In fact, our top two salespeople, one used to be a British Superbike rider and the other one used to work in insurance, you know, and they're our top salespeople. So for me, I'm always looking for people who've got the right attitude and abilities and probably desires and passion to do something differently. So, you know, I think we're a couple of months out really before we'll know what the end looks like, if it's going to be there. And I don't want that to sound like doom and gloom, but it's a mixed bag out there at the moment with everyone I talk to.
Thank you. Vera or Toby, did you have anything to add?
Yeah, I think, you know, I agree. I think we will see a bounce in the Salesforce market for sure. I think, you know, transformation projects will be, to Penny's point, front and center in people's mindset, both for business continuity and resilience planning. And I think Simon's right. I think the workforce will change. And I think people will be more open to, you know, recruiting in different ways, looking at remote workers, flexible workers. I think you'll see, you know, a bigger focus on veterans and moms and, you know, the workforces that we were trying to get back into the Salesforce ecosystems that were really just in their infancy in terms of programs to help them do that. I think all of that will grow exponentially on the back of this, I hope.
Okay.
Sorry. Go on, Toby.
Yeah, no, I just reiterate, I think whatever everybody else has said, I think the point about IR35, I think, is a very good one. I think with that being pushed back by a year, that does open up lots of flexibility in the recruitment. And Lee, you and I have had discussions about that and different approaches that you know, as somebody providing services, you can offer your services in a different way than you maybe would historically have done. So I think that's all. Definitely positive. With respect to Salesforce, I mean, speaking to some people at Salesforce, it seems to me like there are clearly some significant winners in where we are at the moment who are, you know, big users, you know, different segments of industry who are clearly leveraging the demand that we're seeing that we haven't seen before, like online retail, you know, and I think with all of this, there will be a lot of companies that fall by the wayside because they haven't been able to adapt as quickly. They haven't been able to change. They haven't been able to empower people. They haven't been able to take some of these significant strategic decisions
in a very short timescale. Primark is a great example, you know, whereas there are loads of organisations who have gone 100% online and still delivering and still getting things outside out the door. Delivery companies, they will be going through the roof. We all know what's happened with Amazon and their share price in the last 3 or 4 months. So, I think things will definitely change to reiterate what everybody else has said. But I think going forward, there will be some significant areas where Salesforce can certainly support different areas where they've probably been a bit static and a bit stagnant historically as well.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, guys. Unless anyone has anything else to say, I appreciate we taking up an hour and a half of your time. Well, that's gone quick. So obviously, thanks very much to all of you for contributing, and we'll get this out there for you, and hopefully the wider Salesforce ecosystem will really appreciate it as well. So thanks very much for joining us, guys. And
just all unique experiences there, and I think there's going to be so many people that are going to take something from what you guys have said. So thank you very much. I'm sure it's going to be inspiring for a lot of people out there.
Same here. Everybody who's on the call has said something inspiring as well that I can take away. So thank you for that.
Brilliant. Thanks. Okay, thanks very much then, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. So our thanks to Penny, Vera, Gemma, Toby and Simon there for their thoughts on how COVID-19 is affecting them as individuals and as businesses in the Salesforce ecosystem.
Yes, and there were very interesting comments there, and some things that hopefully might inspire some of you. So please feel free to share and like this video. And if you would like to take part in a future roundtable, then please get in contact. Bye.
Thanks, guys.